Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Not just the United States, but North America. We'll do some trivia on the countries in North America here in just a minute. But the tickets were outrageous. That's the big story from, you know, the World Cup so far this summer. And FIFA slashed the price of some of those tickets for teams' most loyal fans. And some are going to get, instead of being asked to pay $4,185 for their seat to the final, they'll just get those seats for $60.
Oh.
That's a pretty big reduction. That's a big rollback, as they would say. $60 tickets are going to be made available for every game at the tournament going to the national federations whose teams are playing. Those federations decide how to distribute them to loyal fans who have attended previous games at home and on the road. I have some friends who are really, really into this stuff, you know, who would love to go. It may go still, but these prices are pretty prohibitive. You know, it's one of those things where you're just going to have to, you know, tell yourself, hey, you know, it's a once in a lifetime deal, and you just have to justify it that way. I think Nashville might have some, you know, or Atlanta may have like a quarterfinal or, you know, some kind of knockout stage. You know, so you'll be able to drive to it. I don't think we're going to get it here in Memphis at the Mike Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were one of the last cuts, unfortunately.
Well, y'all wouldn't build a new stadium.
Yeah, I think that's one where.
Remember, it was supposed
I lament it.
The big ass.
If we were just going to tear down the damn Mid-South Coliseum, we might be hosting World Cup finals in Memphis. But yeah, $4,185 to 60. That's a big that's a big reduction. I know you're curious. The last time the United States hosted the World Cup in 1994, tickets ranged from $25 to $475.
Wow!
So just to give you a little bit of an idea as to how much things cost back then,
I would just take that money and spend it on an NFL game. But that's just me. Yeah, you talk about what you could do with that money right there. Now I realize World Cup only comes around so much, and especially
once every
here
4 years.
In the United States, historic.
Hasn't been here since 94.
But for me, the NFL monster in me,
right,
commands that if I'm going to spend that kind of money,
right,
that's going to be on Chicago Bears.
Right.
Best believe it. Now, it could be in some visitor location.
Right.
But I just would not have the same amount of fun. It would only be to check the box that says, as a grandfather, I once attended a World Cup game.
Right, but it's soccer.
That's it. And the kid, not going to care.
Soccer doesn't speak to your soul.
No, I don't think it speaks to yours in that way either.
No, I'm not going.
Yeah, you said you have friends that are doing
this. I have friends that are
going. It's important to them. You didn't include yourself.
If they invited me and said, man, we really want you to come, our experience simply would just not be the same without you, I'd say, all right, man, let me see what kind of, you know, strings I can pull. But see, I'd rather go to, like, the Olympics. I want to go to the Summer Olympics before I die and cheer on the basketball team. That's what I want to do. That's like my big, like, I just decided it's a bucket list thing. I know it's in L.A. this year. I don't want to go to L.A. I don't want to do it in L.A. I want to go, like, somewhere that I, you know, can't go to or wouldn't go to, you know, any old time. You know, I want to go when it's in, do we know Olympic sites in the future? Or, like, when are those announced?
How far in the future are you trying to get? I mean, yes, we've got several of them. I think we've got the next couple of them announced, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought there was something recently about
that. Australia in 2032. Now, that's a fun one. That's 7 years from now. I'll be 41. I mean, mm-hmm. That seems like one where, you know, I can just join you via Zoom from Australia. in Brisbane, Australia.
Our men don't do anything either.
No. Well, this year they got a nice draw in the group.
It's our women. If I was going to go to a World Cup,
yeah,
it'd be to see, you know, I was cheering USA, USA when Brandy was winning that thing. Mm-hmm. Chastain. It'd be right. To see the women.
Right.
To see Trinity.
To see Trinity, who's, I think.
It would not be to go see us.
Nursing an injury at the moment.
Probably not even advance deep. Maybe we get out of pool play.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what happens after that.
Well, right, but you're not going to go to a pool
what
play.
What are we doing? What's my guy's name? And him and Alexi Lawless going to be frustrated with us. We do this every year.
No, it is. It's
what are we doing?
It is.
Twelman, isn't it?
Taylor Twelman, yes.
What are we doing?
I see. We see Taylor Twelman and Alexi Lawless like once every 3 years, and they're always like completely aghast and taken aback by the effort of the United States men's national team.
Right. So the women really are the ones that I would get behind because
right.
They seem like still a true contender.
Now,
Summer Olympics, L.A., that's different. Understand?
Okay.
That's historic. That's something.
Well,
you
we
got
know we're
going
to kick ass in basketball.
You got many events. I'm just talking about in terms of attending.
Yes.
As opposed
You're
to
right.
a men's World Cup
You're
and coming
right.
to, you know, the fact that you've got the Olympics here and the Summer Olympics, which we care more about
There's
than the winter.
There's more to do in the
now,
Olympics.
Now, that's I one mean, where you consider, okay, am I getting out there
right.
for that? Because that,
right.
yeah, that's something. I just think in terms of investing in, if I'm going to spend money, save money to go
right.
do something historic, it would be that.
Do you think you'll
focusing on the Summer Olympics?
Do you think if you had to guess, you'll get to an Olympics?
I would like to think so before I'm done. That's one thing. I listen to Calkins all the time talk about how fortunate he is to have covered as many Olympics as he has.
Right.
What's the number? You might know it off the top of your head.
I think he's got 8.
Is it 8? That's what I thought. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to. That's amazing.
Yes, it
you know
is.
That you've been to that many. Obviously, he's been all over the world to cover them, but just hearing the stories, yeah.
7, excuse me.
That's one I would like to have on the bucket list, much more so than a World Cup, is Olympics. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think
didn't get to do Atlanta.
Wilkins doing the Winter Olympics. Now, Winter Olympics, I totally do not care about.
Right.
Because it's just not sports that we do, right? You snowboard and you ski and you know. Curl.
But isn't Sean? Sean's old. Like I don't want to.
Still even going?
These new snowboarders. Everything. I can't keep up with them. I think old Sean White's gotten too old. He was the one I could keep up with.
Yeah.
But feels like he's aged out. So now the best thing sometimes is figure skating, and again that's the height.
Right.
It's pretty sad.
Yes. Yes. I don't care about the bobsleigh. I don't care about the ice the hockey.
We ain't got Boitano out there. Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Harding. Not there.
That's right. Michelle Kwan.
The Russians, they win everything.
I don't know if they're allowed to compete at this moment based on their war crimes. But maybe, who knows, honestly. Maybe they'll be allowed back in.
Don't put J&J on Winter Olympics. Not going to be fun coverage.
No, no one would ever do that. Now, send us out to L.A. for the summer. That'll be good.
I agree.
We'll get the most out of that. Obviously, you got Cade Cunningham. You know,
yeah, job,
ja.
Chances,
ja,
getting slimmer by the day.
Stop, bro.
I used to dream of this. Remember, we talked about it. Job plan for the Olympic team and representing USA, USA. It's just not gonna happen, is it?
Dead that. Like, how about he play for his professional basketball team before we start talking about the Olympic?
Unfortunately,
basketball team.
Too, you said it. Rise of Cade.
Oh, yeah.
Is hurting us,
dude. Cade had like 35 last night.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
He's our Luka. He's our American Luka.
He is. He had 32 and 10 last night.
This guy, what a stud.
Yeah. I mean, you might have two guys from that team on the Olympic team.
Him and Durin.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what Durin does. You know you're going to get the rebounds from him. You need American bigs that rebound.
Yeah.
Durin's your man.
Yes, he is.
And now he can score. Roll that basket. He does. I mean, Durin's having a great season.
That would be really cool. That would be really cool to have a Tiger back in the Olympics on the Olympic team.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's been since Penny.
Good Tiger.
So,
wow.
Don't forget, man. Don't forget he
came. I mean, he does. He reps us, right? Yeah.
I don't really know about that.
Okay.
I mean, I think he would tell you that he went to Memphis if you ask him, where'd you go to college? But I don't think it's like I'm a Tiger for life type of thing.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's, he was only here for a year, and then there were times where he was thinking about, leaving the team anyway. Regardless, he came here. We'll always have that. World Cup prices coming down. So if you've been to some home games, out there, I don't know where you're at listening from. I know we have one guy that listens to us in Bahrain.
Appreciate him.
And if he has attended some games out there for, you know, the last couple of years, he might get a $60 ticket. We'll come back. Frank Bonner's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about his impressions of Charles Huff and more. Stick around. J&J, 99 FM, ESPN. Big stretch coming up for the University of Memphis as they've got three games in the span of 6 days, and they're all big ones. They're the final non-conference games before Memphis gets into conference play. Now, they do play another one at Utah State, but that's later in the year. That's kind of sandwiched in with the American games. But tomorrow against Vandy, Vandy has not beaten a top 30 team this year. However, I don't believe they've played a top 30 team this year.
Yeah.
And they've blown everybody out. And the bad news is Memphis is not a top 30 team. So that's the bad news.
Bunch of guards.
That's all right. That's right.
No, nobody over 6'8", I think I read.
I'm assuming Memphis will be a 6.5, 7-point underdog.
Now, Kempom's got a 7-point loss.
Yeah.
7-point Vandy win.
Yeah. So I'm expecting the line to be around there. You know, big test for Memphis, obviously, but at home, it's winnable, you have to say. At Mississippi State on Saturday, which you would also say, based on the way that Mississippi State has played, winnable. I mean, you're actually rated higher than Mississippi State at KenPom.
They have nothing of significance when it comes to their wins, and every time they've faced a decent opponent, they've lost. All the top 100 opponents they've played, they've lost to, and
yep.
Everybody else has been bad. You know, they're what, five wins? All of them to what, sub? Nobody above 130
right
in there.
Right.
Utah being the best of those.
Exactly. So,
got to win that Mississippi State game.
Yeah, got to win that one, absolutely. And then, obviously, Alabama State at home against Tony Madlock December 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So, the big one is tomorrow. Everyone's big, but, you know, you beat Vandy at home, you know, and somehow find a way to win the next two, you're sitting here at, you know, 6-5, and better than it could have been is what I would say when you were sitting here at 1-4. Because you could have lost to Baylor, right? I mean, that was a coin flip. You were a 3-point dog. So could have happened, you know, and it didn't. So I would say 6-5 would be best case scenario, and I would have said that on November the 21st. So an opportunity here. Look, your at-large hopes are probably in the dumps, probably gone. Unless you just literally win every game the rest of the way and you finish 26-5, which we know that's not going to happen. So your goal is to get better throughout the course of the season now, but beating Vandy at least would help re-engage fans, it feels like.
Yeah, not just re-engage fans. I think give your team maybe a little bit of belief, especially in terms of going into that away game, Mississippi State, very winnable there. Listen, 3-0 would be nice here. 3-0 with a chance to get to 8-5 in non-con after, heck, we said even before the season began, looking at this schedule, having to flip 15, we didn't know if 8-5 was possible. So it could be worse than that. And that's, I think we said we'd like that. We would take that compared to the 10-3 that they went last season. Again, you're asking for a lot having to play a schedule like this when you're, and you've made your bed here, having to replace 15 a year. So you're not far off that. The thing is, you got a real stanky loss up in there to UNLV.
Yep.
Right? And you should, frankly, have another win in there over Wake Forest. Like you let that one go. And again, that one came down to just not having a guy miss a free throw. Very simple. Should be a win. But point, not far off from what we said in terms of record wise. Now, analytically, because of the loss to UNLV, yeah, you're not where you'd like to be. We've talked about it. At large hopes ain't great right now, but you could revive them with 3-0. And you could certainly be in a solid spot, still having to play that Utah State non-conference later. When's that one? In February? Either way, January, February, the middle of conference play. You can be sort of where we said this team's probably going to be. We said there ain't no five seeds on the line here. It's not going to happen this year. But hopefully what you can do is get yourself ready to win the conference. Conference tournament's going to be key. And maybe you get yourself back into the at-large mix. But this ain't something where, yeah, you're getting better in an 8-9 seed this year. And frankly, if you pulled that out of the hat at this point, I think it'd be pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, with the bad loss you have.
I agree completely. So, look, every game still matters. You know, you want to be in a position where you can make the tournament. But this is you know, Penny said yesterday on his radio show that Vandy is basically Louisville. And metrically, he's right. Now, Louisville, much better schedule they've played to this point, right? Louisville has played, they played Kentucky, they played Arkansas, they played Indiana. So they were tested in a way that, you know, Vandy, I guess the best of the team they've played, SMU, St. Mary's, VCU, you know, good teams, but not elite by any stretch of the imagination. So
it's on their second true road game as well.
Right.
I think the only other one's Central Florida.
Right. But, you know, they have played teams in the 30s and 40s. So seeing a 72 at KenPom Memphis will not strike fear in their heart. They're going to be favored, and they're going to be favored appropriately. But Memphis has pulled off upsets before. So
need this one.
This one badly. No doubt about that. All right. Frank Bonner's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about his first impressions of Charles Huff, some hires, the bowl game, all that, and more on the other side with Frank Bonner. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Frank Bonner covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. Joins us every Tuesday. Been nice enough to come in studio throughout the football season, and he joins us now. We talked about Charles Huff being hired last week. We had not met him yet. Then we met him, and he delivered one of the most epic remarks. I don't even want to say press conference. I think you put that best speeches, best, like, you know, orator maybe ever.
Apex Predator.
I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain for some of the greatest speeches we've ever heard. Gettysburg Address.
I mean,
that press conference.
Now you're going. Now he's going a little far, right?
No, I don't think that's at all.
What? A little bit, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Leave it to John to take it too far.
No, I think you put it up there. I really do. But again, you guys disagree. You're looking at me. You know, I would encourage you, and I would implore you to watch that back. You know what I mean? Watch that back, and maybe you'll have a different take. But in all seriousness, I've never heard a Memphis football coach talk like that about Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a player who's wondering what to do in terms of the coaching change and if you're going to enter the portal or so on, I feel like that speech may have you second-guessing if you want to leave, if you were thinking about that before the hire. I mean, because – and we talked about it, but, you know, winning the press conference, like I said, I think is more for ADs and so on, but a press conference can help you win a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think – that may help win the locker room even before he was able to, you know, get them all together. So I think it was huge for that aspect.
Were you surprised? I mean,
no, you're fine.
You know, he talked about the other hires in the American, actually brought up Hartline and everything else, and seemed to make a case that Memphis was making the best hire. Look at my record. Were you expecting that from him? And he said it with all due respect. Like it wasn't sort of a shot at those guys or anything else, but the confidence was there because he said, look at my record. Did you expect that right off the bat from Charles?
No, I didn't. And I think, you know, at first when he said it, you thought it was like, you know, ha, 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 but he was like, no, like for real, go ahead and check the resume.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Like, kind of good.
I think you got to love the confidence. Like you said, it wasn't the way that he said it. It wasn't in a cocky
I didn't take it that way.
It's just based off of the track records. My track record and it is longer than anybody else's who had recently been hired. So I don't mind it. If you're, like I said, if you're a player, you love that from your coach who's taking that ownership of, I'm coming here to be the guy. I believe I'm the guy.
Yep.
And I'm telling you that I know the expectation is to win championships.
Yep. It was refreshing.
Yeah, it was very refreshing. And, you know, you got to win the games too.
Correct.
But it does seem like, you know, it was important for Memphis to hire somebody that believed in the upside, not just like because, you know, whatever it's convenient to say, but like who really believes that this program is, you know, what everybody in Memphis hopes and expects it will be, which is getting to the playoff. Like, I feel like that was important to hire somebody that would be able to appreciate that, you know, in Charles Huff.
Especially somebody who not only appreciates it, but looks at that and says, I can do that. I can be the one to get you there, and I've shown I can do it with other programs. I can definitely do it here when I have the resources that I have and things like that.
On those resources, I'm just curious your understanding of where it's at. If the Athletic, if we use the $8 to $10 million that the Athletic reported that South Florida spent on its football roster, and it said Memphis and Tulane were just behind, or that's the case that it made. was a story about North Texas and how little they had. I'm just curious, what's your understanding of what Charles is going to have in terms of money for a roster?
Well, that could change if we're basing it on last year, right? Because everybody is trying to get as close as they can get in terms of like the non-power. You know, there's schools who are trying to get as close as they can get to meeting that maximum point.
The full roster.
Obviously, yep. Memphis is in one of those. And so I do think that it wouldn't be surprising to see an increase of what it was last year, which would obviously be helping. And so, like, you know, I don't want to put a number on it, but well, you think that, you know, Memphis was probably in the 6-7 or somewhere like that, right? Or, Lord.
Yeah, you did it. You did
it. I did. Not on purpose. If they can get closer to that rev share, you would expect for that to increase if they can get there. So I do think that whatever the number ends up being, Charles will be in good, you know, good situation with that.
Which makes him sort of where I was getting to, and maybe it's something, maybe we've just assumed it. But
the Grim Reaper for Memphis basketball.
No, you come in with expectations of, and especially with these other coaches that have left programs, everything else, Hartline has not been a head coach. You're going to come in with, I'm just guessing what you think those other coaches in the conference, championship game expectations. I know he addressed those, says you got to get, but I'm talking about off first year, right? If you're investing that much, if you're that close to South Florida, won't he, if he's not in the conference title game that first year, will we be disappointed based on resources and
yes.
based on?
Look, I'll say that, not to cut you off.
He said it wasn't broken back
right.
to that
and
point.
So the ceiling obviously is conference championship game, you know, winning it and so on. And you can talk about it being a disappointment if he doesn't do it in year one. But let's also look at the fact that he's taking over a program that went 8-4 in the regular season the year before. If he goes 10-2 and misses the conference championship game because of a tiebreaker,
yeah,
it would be disappointing, but you don't look at that and all of a sudden think that
with you 100% on that.
You know, they made the wrong hire because right. he went 10-2 and missed the conference championship game in year one.
Yeah.
Because it would still be an increase from 100%. The year before. So obviously, yes, you want to see him crack that ceiling in year one because of the situation that he's in. But if he doesn't do it and still goes 10-2 or whatever, you don't look at that and be like, man, start questioning the hire.
Yeah. Especially if he's winning 10 games first year. No, you couldn't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that the way that this has set up, like, okay, this is the job and this is.
Well, he set it up to your point. I mean, he said, I've got a head start on Hartline.
Exactly.
Programs.
So you can't tell him you got a head start and then you don't deliver on the head start because then, you know, we're back where we were. I mean, the days of waiting and saying, oh, this is it takes time. No, it don't. It don't take time. Does it take time for Brian Hartline? Does it take time for Neil Brown? I mean, somebody in this league has to be in the championship game. Why shouldn't it be Memphis?
Right.
That's just where I come down on it. I get it. It's first year, but like, let's go.
Correct. Right. I mean, and he knows that's the expectation. I'm just saying that if it doesn't happen, folks don't need to come out the woodwork questioning. If the hire was the right hire,
well, let's see.
If it doesn't happen in your way, if it doesn't happen with 10 wins, then I'm with you.
If it doesn't happen with six wins, then
it might be. It's going to be.
Then we're going to question it.
Right. So six and six is different.
I mean, yeah, all missing the championship games we know is not created equally.
Correct.
I mean, he's going to get some level of grace because it's his first year.
Yeah, yeah.
However, if he uses it on a 6-6 for that's it. I mean, that's
well, then yeah, then yeah. Like if you go 6-6 year one. Then year two has to be like
right. I mean, there's this is a big moment for the University of Memphis.
Correct.
I mean, it just is, and you know, although they have been a good and consistent program, they clearly have not been good enough to impress the opinions of administrators around the country. Make the playoff every year, which they have access to do over the next 3 years, and when those musical chairs start going around again. You should be in it. I mean, when Louisville got I wrote this week, but when Louisville got picked for the Big East in 2003, they were coming off of two straight Conference USA football championships. That's why, because their football program was winning that league, and they back then it wasn't playoff, but like Memphis will be they'll have exposure. They may have a game day. They may whatever. I don't know what would all come with that, but they would obviously have solidified themselves for that next round. And if you squander it and you just sit around and you're 8-4 and you're 7-5 and you're then we're going to be right back where we are, and we'll have missed the window potentially.
Correct, right? And I mean, in Charles Huff's own words, right? He said, you know, Memphis has won a lot of games. It's time to win championships, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows it, and so he's going to be held to that standard, and that's the standard that he'll be held to, and we'll hold him to that as the games get played.
How significant do you think, or to you, was what he said about what he likes in a quarterback, right? Like a dual threat that we got to hear through. I heard a little bit more about it, obviously, at the presser. And what that might mean, if anything, I just wanted to, through your eyes, for the guys that you've got with A.J. Hill. I know Arrington said he's going to jump in, but does it mean anything for them in any way? Was it significant to you?
Yeah, I thought it was significant, right? Yeah. And he did couch it by saying that doesn't mean that, you know, you pocket passers out there, we don't want to call right. you, but he wants somebody who can move in the pocket. And A.J. can move in the pocket. I think, you know, if you read what he said, he doesn't necessarily need a Brendan Lewis in terms of
– he's that type, we'd say. Yeah, he's that dual threat. That, yeah.
Right. But he does want somebody who can move, you know, like you take an Aaron Rodgers in his prime. He wasn't a running quarterback or anything, but he could move in the pocket. He could buy time.
A.J. can do that?
Take off with his legs if he needs to. Not at the rate like an Arrington. But I do think that – I mean, he's more pro-style. Let's get it right. He's more pro-style. But I don't think that that A.J. is a statue.
Yeah, he's not just a stiff back
there. Yeah, but he's not – when he made the comments that he made, A.J. Hill doesn't jump off the screen for me in terms of that's a guy – like that, you know, so
– fitting that description.
Right, and so A.J.'s not a statue, but he's not as mobile as an Arrington Maiden is for sure.
But mm-hmm. Arrington Maiden does. In your mind, we were talking about fit checking the box of what the description that Huff had, Arrington would in your eye.
Yeah,
your
I think eye. Arrington is mobile enough to fit that description that Huff had. Mm-hmm. And Arrington has showed you that in the little mm-hmm. reps that he got.
He did.
Talking to Frank Bonner, covers Memphis football for the Daily Memphian. Gasparilla Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. You know, I was at the 2017 Gasparilla Fest. On a bachelor party.
I think this will be a lot different than that.
A lot of people don't know that, though. A lot of people, I saw the whole kit and caboodle, bro. I saw the ships, man. I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole deal. I think it's around this time, as a matter of fact. Gasparilla Fest, I think they tie it all in.
It sounds like you may beat me to Tampa. I mean, you going to be
no,
down in Tampa?
No. Frank, that was a past life.
Is it a Pirates thing? They dress
the
up?
The Pirates thing,
yeah. Yeah, the whole, yeah.
People come in on, like, they have their boats and stuff, and they come into the... whatever, the bay or something.
Yeah, I got out of there before that was starting up 1 year.
Obviously,
Weber talking about that.
You are not going to be covering that one for us. The fest, you will be at the bowl game.
Yes, I will be at the bowl game.
Is there anything that Charles Huff and his staff can like or would take out of it? Is it just like we don't even care?
I mean, this will be the first game that he gets to watch. As the coach, right? I think there is things that he can take out of it, especially when you're trying to evaluate the roster, who may leave, who may stay, who you want to stay, and so on. And so, yeah, I think there are things that he can take out of it. I don't know how much more you're going to take out of this game versus watching the film of, mm-hmm. of the previous seasons, but, you know, there's always things that you can take when you're trying to evaluate a roster.
Yeah.
How retainable is Sutton Smith in your eyes?
I think
shouldn't he be a priority? Should he be a priority?
I think I think it's attainable that you could talk him into staying, depending on what that conversation is. But I don't think it's a clear cut 100% that he's out the door or anything like mm-hmm. that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if a Charles Huff was able to retain a Sutton Smith.
Yeah, man, I tell him, man, Ryan didn't use you enough.
Come on,
stay with me. I'm a former running backs coach, had Najee and all the big boys. You stay here with me.
And that's why
and I'll use you.
That your point about the running back coach. I mean, when you hear Charles Huff and everybody calls him Elite Retooter, the two names that follow behind him are usually Saquon Barkley and Najee Harris. And that's what I'm telling Sutton Smith.
Man,
like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, bring, you know, running back you. I'm a
correctly.
Running back coach. Like, we can make this thing go.
Because yeah, there's a bunch of games you could use it. There's a bunch of games where he didn't get enough carries, John.
Right.
You were saying, what in the world are they doing? They're not using him enough. Use that to my advantage.
Yeah, and as a coach, you know, if you're looking, you question, like, why do you think you weren't being used in the way that you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about your game that you feel like, you know, and if a coach can have those conversations and this is how I want to use you, there's a way to keep him.
Yeah.
What do you make of the staff hires? What do you make of what he's done so far? Obviously, he still has to hire an OC, but it looks like he's got a DC, some staff guys.
Yeah, I think it's what you expect from a. I think we talked about a little bit before. You know, a lot of those guys are people who have been with him. Mm-hmm. Some of them even back to Marshall, and so when you have that continuity and people that you know, they know how you operate. You know how they operate. And you already know that the visions of what you're trying to do are aligned. It's the same reason why Ryan took some people with him to Arkansas. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, that's expected.
Right. And then for the OC, any idea how that, what direction he could go there? I mean, is there?
So I talked to him, and he said that at the time that I talked to him, this was the day after the presser, he said they're about a week or so away of figuring that out. He said he didn't want to announce anything on that until after the bowl game and everything. He said he's down to about three candidates.
Okay.
Obviously, we know what the type of offense that he wants. He wants to snap the ball fast. He wants to spread it out. And so, obviously, he's going to have a OC that has that mindset of what he's trying to do there. And then so, like, that's another thing that I'm curious, you know, with that offensive mindset, which isn't – all that different than what Memphis fans are used to in terms of high octane offenses and so on. But he is bringing a 4-2-5 with him, which is a little different than what Memphis on the defensive side of what fans have been able to see. And I know some fans were, wondering if Memphis would ever go that direction. Well, now they will. So we'll see what that 4-2-5 looks like.
And John was telling me there's a linebacker, Chris Jones, that played in that 4-2-5 that played at Kennesaw State that maybe you could bring up with you. I don't know. I don't think there's ever been a Chris Jones athletically that we know that hasn't been cold. Chris Jones, the Chief Chris Jones, the basketball player. Yeah. Chris Jones, the linebacker from Kennesaw State, hopefully going to be in the portal.
There was a Chris Jones at Briarcrest, a basketball player that went D1. Remember him?
You have to be cold.
Sounds like you just got to go in alphabetical order in the portal and say, how many Chris Joneses are there? And just go get all the Chris Joneses.
1,000%. Especially this one apparently had a ton of tackles playing in that 4-2-5.
Yeah, go get that Chris Jones.
Yeah, need him.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he come?
I mean,
it's a step up for him.
And money. The coach is fiery and everything. Yeah. And
the top two tacklers should come.
The DC's the same.
Yeah, right. And so, like, obviously.
He's your stud player.
I mean, that's kind of how recruiting works. And like I said before, like Charles Huff, people call him elite recruiter for a reason. And so whatever he's looking for, he's going to find. I think one thing about Silverfield that I've always said is I did feel like Silverfield was a strong recruiter.
He was.
You replace him with another coach who is believed to be a strong recruiter, and so you do want to see that continue at Memphis, and I think it will.
In terms of – I just completely blanked. It's the holidays, man.
Well, I'll tell you this, though.
The holidays. Forgive me.
One thing you do, especially when they're a new hire, I like to kind of dive into – how they view coaching the position outside of just the winning of the games. And I've got a story that's coming to come out in a couple of days kind of about that. And he talked about it in the presser in terms of wanting to pour into what did he say? He said he wants to attack the individual. And if you improve the individual, then improving the player will be a byproduct.
I like that.
And so, just kind of peeling back those layers of how he views the position in a holistic way, I thought was pretty interesting.
He's a former National Recruiter of the Year, like Larry Porter was, but unlike Larry Porter, yes. Charles Huff has built programs into winners and won conference championships as a head coach. So the hope is you are getting the full package.
Right. I know what I was going to ask now. The money. Obviously, you mentioned, is he going to get $7 million? Is he going to get more? Tim was saying that he had a quote about how he wants more ref share. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But did he have a quote about ref share and how he wants more along those lines?
Yeah, so he mentioned he mentioned that. I don't think it was like I'm coming in this program and Memphis isn't giving enough. But, it was one of those – always be like,
right.
I'm trying to recruit. I need some more money. Like, yeah, it was more.
Well,
like
and here's the truth. That guy has leverage because he's the new hire and he's the football guy.
Yeah, right. And so I think it was it was one of those that, I mean, you hear coaches say that, you know, I gotta go get guys. I'm a wink, wink. I need some more money. Like,
got it.
Was, yeah.
But he really wasn't joking, though. I mean,
no.
He winked, but he was being dead ass.
It was the same way about him saying that they hired the best coach.
Yeah.
Like, it was wink, wink, but also he was being for real.
Look, I'm not, by the way, I do need more money. So.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where you got to pull it from. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's all kind of related, right? I mean, because I'm sure Penny feels the same way. But Penny doesn't have that leverage with this current administration because he's not the new hire. The team is kind of underperforming right now, you know? I mean,
but I will say this administration, they don't need the new hire to tell them that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they know what the landscape is. They, you know, they know what they need to do and what they're trying to do, right? I don't think they need.
They don't need it, but it makes it easier for that person, that new person.
Yeah.
It's like getting out of a marriage that's stale, you know, and then you meet somebody new, and they, you know, you're willing to do things for them because they're new and fresh that you maybe weren't willing to do for the old partner because you just had already been with that partner for so long. Why do I need to change now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think it's also deeper than just the guy who's running the team. It's you want your athletic department to look a certain way.
Right.
Everybody knows that the most shiniest thing in your athletic department is your football program.
Yeah.
And so you can't say that you are the best or one of the best non-power athletic departments in the country and not be investing in the football.
Right.
And so I think that is more foundational than whether it was Charles Huff or whether it was still Silverfield or whatever, the investment in football still has to continue.
Oh, it will continue.
Yeah, and it will, right?
It will continue. Yeah. It will increase.
Yeah, I mean, and this administration has shown you their commitment to continuing to do that. I mean, Ed hasn't hidden from that.
Right. Absolutely. Frank, always good to have you in, man. Thanks for doing
Great
this.
Stuff, brother.
No problem.
Enjoy Tampa. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Happy holidays.
Did you cut that turkey on Thanksgiving?
I did not, bro.
He couldn't bring himself to do it.
What do I need to do on Thanksgiving or Christmas? What is there a tradition that I need to do there?
Just play games with the family.
All right, I'll do that. I'll handle that.
Your presence alone we're grateful for.
Thank you so much.
Being there is the best thing.
But the turkey was cut already before I could get to it. So, by Rita. All right, we'll come back. Wrap this up. J&J 99.5 FM, ESPN. Hey, don't worry. If you've waited this long to get those holiday gifts, it's fine. I'm in the same boat. But Howie's here just for you. Get over there to see Howie. Get the lab-grown diamond stud earrings for her. 2-carat lab-grown diamond studs start at just $7.99. Get the designer diamond necklace in 14-carat yellow gold, just $19.99. There is something for anybody in your life that loves jewelry at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Go see him today.
Yeah, add some sparkle to the holidays by getting over to Robert Irwin Jewelers and let Howie make both of you happy. You as the gift giver, and then, of course, the person that you're giving it to. They're going to be, you know, get that big smile when they see the sparkle, but you're going to be happy because of the deal you got. That's how Howie becomes your jeweler for life. Frankly, I don't know how he's done it. Continue to give these kind of discounts, these kind of sales, and still run a successful business. Man clearly knows what he's doing, having been in business, he and his family, for 40-plus years. You can choose from handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, and fashion-forward style.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Styles or have it custom made. He's got all the payment options. You just get there and go see him. That's the hard part. Everything else is easy. Robert Irwin Jewelers open extended hours through Christmas, including this Sunday. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Always at Robert Irwin Jewelers, online at rijewelers.com.
Thanks to Frank Bonner for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company going to keep you warm with the takes. I tell you that right now. They're coming up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.